It's our final regular season episode of the CHL Top 10 Show. And as always, I'm Scott Van Kunit. Today, we have an all-OHL episode with assistant coach of the OHL leading London Knights, Dylan Hunter, and the leading scorer for the OHL's Eastern Conference leading Oshawa Generals, Cal Ritchie. Call me superstitious, but I wasn't about to talk to Toronto Maple Leafs prospect Easton Cowan in the midst of a 34-game point streak. So we did the next best thing and spoke with Dylan Hunter. Hunter spent five seasons as a player with the Knights in the early 2000s, winning a Memorial Cup in 05. After retiring in 2011, he rejoined the Knights as a coach and hasn't looked back. We talk about transitioning from playing to coaching, what it has been like working with his dad and uncle for all these years, Easton Cowan's streak, keeping things fresh, sombreros, and how much pride they take in watching former players have success at every level. Here's Dylan Hunter. My first guest today is from the second-ranked team in the CHL Top 10 rankings. They're currently riding a five-game winning streak. He's from the OHL leading London Knights assistant coach, Dylan Hunter. Dylan, how are you doing today?
Very well, Scott. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Like I was just telling you before we started here, it's second day of spring, but we've had two bust days in a row with the snow that we're getting up here. But, you know, we're getting close to playoff time. So it's, I bet you the guys must be getting pretty revved up right now.
Yeah. You know, it's a long year, but you know, the end's in sight and it's always exciting to get ready for playoffs.
Well, congrats on the team's seventh Midwest division title since you started coaching back in 2011 and 12. So I wanted to ask you, you know, you retired from playing after the 2010-2011 season. What made you want to jump right into coaching right away without taking any time off?
I mean, you know, you're in hockey as long as most of us have been. And, you know, junior is just a really good time in your career. It's, you know, a lot of development. You know, it's big changes, you know, moving away from home. But 16 to 20, it's just a really fun time to be around and to coach. And like I said, to develop guys, you get to see them coming in at 16 and leaving at 20 and again, them to see them in their pro career. So it's really, as a coach, I find it, you know, really fulfilling.
What were some of the biggest challenges that you found in those first few seasons? Like, and those were some pretty stacked Knights teams, but like you were only in your mid 20s at the time.
Yeah. I was 27 or 8 when I came back. So, you know, like I said, I was just kind of fresh from it. So I think it was fun for me. It was a lot of things I could kind of, you know, relate to them with being closer in age, but also just kind of getting out of the game. So, you know, little things that guys I played with that they could watch, you know, the night before and, you know, little things in systems and, you know, some kind of, you know, the skills practices and stuff like that. I thought it was kind of fresh and it was good for me to do it. And, you know, it was an easy, seamless transition for me.
So how much easier or maybe how much harder does it get as that age gap continues to grow between you and the players?
Yeah, of course. Obviously getting older, I have kids. It's, you know, we have different things going on in our lives. But, I mean, hockey's kind of always brings everybody back together. You can always have something to talk about, you know, watch the games before, you know, talk about who's doing well. And then, you know, we're lucky in a sense. We have a lot of guys that come back here and skate in the summer. So they get to see some of their, you know, heroes in their minds. You know, you see the Drew Doughtys and the Corey Perrys, guys that are my age, and then get guys like, you know, Mitch Marner coming back. And I think it's a nice little feeder system for them to see how hard they work and also have fun and get to see, you know, how it pays off, you know, and how much fun they're having.
How have you been able to survive all this time working with your dad and your uncle, both pretty intense guys? I know I wouldn't have been able to survive working with my old man for as long as you have. So how have you guys been able to make it work so well?
We have farms growing up, you know, it's either, you know, one of my uncles were coaching me or it was either in hockey or in farming. You know, we've made it work that way. Obviously it's a good communication. You know, we argue in sense of, you know, what we, you know, our different philosophies. I think that's what keeps it fresh. I mean, everybody has their own idea of how, you know, to fix a problem or on players, but we, you know, we sit here as a group, you know, there's about seven or eight of us and, you know, everybody talks, everybody has an opinion. And, you know, I think we make it work in that sense, not really a change for me. You know, it's like I said, I have a lot more to say in hockey than I do on farming. So, I mean, that makes it work.
I was going to ask you, how do you guys keep things fresh from one season to the next, or even one practice, from the start of the season to the end of the season, coming up with new drills and new systems, new power plays, penalty kills? Who comes up with it as a collective? How does that process work for you guys?
Everybody kind of has a say. I mean, I run the power play. Rick Stemmen, the other coach, has the penalty kill, but obviously it's a group effort. You know, we sit here, we're not so much on our computers. We have like a big TV that we all watch. So it's somebody sees something, they bring it up. We talk about it. The other thing, I think we don't really get stuck in what we like. It's fluid. It's organic. It's, an idea we have in September is not so much an idea in December and into April. So we kind of, read off each other and off every 10 game segment. So if there's something we don't like, we change and we just kind of grow from there. I don't think you have to have an idea of what you want your team to be in September and keep that all the way through. I don't think that's healthy for the team. You got to let them grow into areas that they're more comfortable in and more naturally gravitate towards.
So how much other teams, leagues do you watch to, pull things from to maybe try to implement into your power play?
I think as much as you can. We watch a lot of NHL. Obviously, it's try to see who's hot. The last 2 weeks, who's the best power play going? What are they doing? Watch our when we pre-scout other teams in the league. It's we're seeing what they're doing. Everybody always has a good month, and they could try something new. I think the worst thing you can do is just have the confidence in that you know better than everybody. It's a copycat league. You hear other coaches say that, so. See somebody has a new idea and it's fresh and try it out and see if it works for you guys.
So who came up with bump or bonk?
Yeah, it was one of those things. We needed a righty. I like having the hands work on power plays, and we didn't have anybody back at the time. And Bonky is smart. He's an intelligent player. And, we kind of just passed it on. We did that with Regula a couple years ago. And it worked out. So you just kind of threw it there and see how it worked, and it actually, worked out pretty well, and now we have a move back to the top of the point, just changing it up, keeping it fresh and knowing that we can always throw him back in there. But, it was a good experiment. It was good for him to kind of see how much it takes to work that position. And now he kind of understands a little bit more.
Well, everything that you're doing is working. You guys have the top ranked power play in the CHL humming around, I think just about 39% or 33%, right now. Like I said, you played in the league, you spent 5 years with the Knights, you won a Memorial Cup with that powerhouse Knights team in 05. And then since you've been coaching, you've been to the Memorial Cup in 12, 13, 14, winning again in 16. So which is easier? Is it easier to play or is it easier for you to coach?
Definitely. I think playing, right. Cause you have that confidence and, well, I can go out and do something, and, or I'll block the shot or I'll win the draw. But, as coaching, you do the work, you give them the game plan. And then once the game starts, it's in their hands. It's, you're more sitting back and seeing how it goes. So I think you're more control of your destiny. You feel that way anyways, when you're playing.
How often do you get like that? You just feel a little hopeless out there where you're just like, this is what I want you guys to be doing.
Yeah. I mean, it happens, right? I mean, there's certain plays you drop or talked about before, a play that, the opponent team's going to try to run, and you can kind of see it happening. It's a lot easier, as a fan or as a coach to look at the game and watch it from the bench or from the stands and see it develop. And, when you're out there, it's a split second decision. So you understand it. I mean, it's positive playing and coaching, you understand how quick it is out there and, obviously they're going to be trying their best, but yeah, sometimes you can see it kind of happening and in a good positive or negative way. But it does, it keeps you, it's nothing better to do.
The Knights have been known to, slow cook some of their prospects. How important is it for guys to, maybe sit a game or two and watch from up above and see the game that way every once in a while?
I mean, I think it's a great method to use. I mean, obviously as a player, you want to be out there, you want to play every game and every shift, but, like I said, it's a development for us. I think it's a great opportunity to take a step back, kind of check out and see some things that you were missing when you're out there. Cause sometimes you're in the heat of the battle and, you're amped up and maybe not just reading everything you could be. So by you know, taking a seat and watching a game, it could calm you down and understand, you know, some certain areas you can improve on. I think it only helps down the road.
Easton Cowan recently set the new franchise record for consecutive points with points in 34 straight games, 64 points over that stretch. You know, he's not gonna catch Crosby's 37 games with only two games left, or Radulov's 50 games for, you know, consecutive games since 2000. We can see how impressive he's been from the outside, but from your vantage point, how impressive and how tough is it for a player to do what Easton's been doing this season?
I mean, it's extremely tough, mentally more than anything. I mean, these guys now, you know, they're in shape. They have everything situated when it comes to skills and off ice and stuff. But it's the mental aspect that I think really shines through with Easton. It's tough. It's you know, not only is it just the tough matchups where everybody can see, you know, he's going to take the top D and the top checking line, but it's, you know, the travel and the game. Sometimes it's a 3-on-3 and it's not going for you, and he has that mental aptitude to you know, bear down and not cheat, you know, play the right way, and if it comes, it comes, and he's been rewarded for it. But you know, he's mature beyond his years when it comes to that. You know, a lot of guys, especially like I said, 16 to 20, you're learning a lot about yourself as much as you are, you know, just about your hockey game, and he's done a really good job of being even keel.
Two games left, so he can catch and he could pass Stankoven and Bedard's mark of 35 games from last year. How much have guys avoided talking to him about it? You know, guys are superstitious. We talked a little bit about this. This is why we're talking and me not talking to him, because I don't want to get blamed for a streak ending or anything like that. But how often are guys shying away from him, or he being sheltered a little bit so that, or does he even care?
I mean, a little bit of both. I mean, you can't say that you don't care at all. You know, I mean, obviously we're all competitive, and you know, it's a great streak to have. I mean, you want to keep it going, you know. But again, like he's, you know, our guys are tight. We have a good group, obviously. You know, they'll razz him about a little bit. They're excited on the bench when he gets to that point. But you know, it's not really on the forefront, you know, as much as you would think. It's, you know, they're trying to push here, you know, to get this the season over, and you know, you're vying for top spot against some very good teams. And I think it's kudos to our guys, our leadership, that you know, they have enough relationship to, you know, to give it to them a little bit, but at the same time, it's nothing in the forefront.
And how much more impressive is it when you know as the streak goes on, you know, his name and number are going to be circled on every other visiting team or, you know, away rink that you guys go to, as a guy to shut down, because everybody's going to want to end that streak and going to want to have that little feather in the cap. So how impressive has it been that he's been able to keep it going through 34 games?
Extremely. I mean, it's, you know, it doesn't happen all the time. You know, the guys that have accomplished it are obviously accomplished players, and you know, like I said, these guys have skill, and but it's the mental mindset that these guys have to go on these streaks. It's, you're not always going to be 100%. You know, there's always bumps and bruises. There's times where the puck's not falling for you, and you got to stay strong and stick with the program, and he has. So it's remarkable. You know, to see him get through this streak, and in certain games that we know that he didn't have it, and he kind of, you know, kept persevering through it.
So, you know, we've talked a little bit about, you know, the special teams and how good the power play's been. The penalty kill is equally as good. It's the second ranked, second only to Saskatoon in the CHL. What would you say is the strength of the team this year? Is it the overall depth of the team, because it's, you know, one of the more deeper London Knights teams we've seen in years? The defensive play, the offensive play, special teams? You know, where, or is it a little bit of everything?
I mean, you can't really pinpoint it, I don't think. I think any team, you know, once you get down to, you know, if you're, you know, having a good year like we are, but any team in any of the leagues, the three leagues, it's more depth, I think, than anything. You look at all the championship teams and teams over the years, it's, you know, you're gonna have guys not play well, and you need guys to step up, or guys that get hurt. You can have a good power player, a good penalty kill, but if you lose one guy, you need somebody else to come in. Somebody, you know, and do it. And this year we've had that. We've had some guys on the penalty kill that we weren't expecting. You know, guys like Gazizov, who's a skilled offensive guy. I think he's like third for penalty killing right now in our rotation. And you need guys to surprise you a little bit or step up. And I think the depth is a huge part of that.
Other than Gazizov, who are a couple of players that have, really stepped up this year and maybe improved and taken a couple steps more than you guys were really anticipating?
Well, we have guys like Jacob Julian, right, who came in halfway through last year. He's a good prospect, but again, this is basically his first full year with us, and he's really shown, really shined. Guys, you guys got like Sam O'Reilly, who's a young guy. I think you need all different ages. He's a draftable guy this year, and again, we knew we had something good there, but he's really stepped up his game for us. He's went from right wing to center, and now he's playing a two-way role with us on a second line center. And so some guys like that, you have them penciled in, you don't really know which way they're going to go, and hopefully they develop, and that's how you end up, pushing for a first place.
Who might be maybe the, in your mind anyway, the most underrated player on the team?
We got a few guys, guys that a guy like George, Isaiah George, he doesn't get a lot of the fancy articles and stuff like that, but he plays 25 minutes a game. He's our top P care, top shutdown D. He plays all in all minutes. He's exceptional for us. Again, if we believe you don't have that kind of D that can really just shut a game down for you, then you're not really gonna go that far. So a guy like him that's kind of under the radar a bit, not for us or if you watch a lot of our games, but for sure under the radar, he's been a huge workhorse for us.
Do you guys ever internally kind of compare the teams that you have? Maybe this is more of an off-season type of thing, but when you're looking at the rosters and versus teams that you've had success with over the years, even last year's team that made that deep run to, losing eventually to Peterborough, or the championship teams in 12, 13, or 16. Like, do you guys compare them and say, okay, these are the pieces we need to add? This is how we have to tweak things, just, based on the successes that we've had over the years.
I mean, it's hard to do it with guys, especially in junior. They develop exponentially, from September to what, April. It's sometimes it's hard to really just kind of compare. I mean, obviously you have certain goals you want to hit for goals for and goals against, and you kind of can come into a year and say, I think this guy's going to get this and this, and kind of go from there. But when it comes to a team, it's hard to tell in junior if they're going to come together. It's one of those things in November you evaluate, then December before the trade deadline you reevaluate again. And obviously there's a formula. You need some high-end skill, you need a good goalie, you need a good four decor to make it. You can look at all the past winners, that's basically what they've had. So but to know if you're going to have that coming in, it's not so much like pro where they're basically kind of finished products and you can kind of put them into to holes. It's kind of a wait and see game, and hopefully develop enough by December to make the right choice.
This year, back in January, Sam Dickinson and Sam O'Reilly both participated in the Top Prospects game in Moncton. Obviously, you were drafted by Buffalo way back in 2004 in the ninth round. Do you remember overall what that was?
No, I don't.
Yeah, it's 273rd. But as a guy who went through the draft and has obviously coached lots of guys that have been drafted and gone through the draft year, what kind of advice do you give these guys during their draft year? And then maybe what kind of advice do you give them in the subsequent years after they've been drafted?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's you spent your whole life, trying to be a hockey player, right? And then you come down to 1 year. So, we understand that. We've had enough guys come through. It's a lot of pressure they put on themselves. A lot of exterior, media and family and seeing the scouting lists come out and try to really just try to insulate them as much as we can in that sense of, you just got to keep working on yourself where, develop yourself, develop your game, and it's going to come through. And just for them to understand that, there's a window, and it's every year there's new guys getting drafted, and it doesn't really matter if you're 10 or 5 or overall or second or third. You see guys like Braden Point's fourth rounder that's putting up 100 points a year. So don't so much worry about the numbers of where you're drafted. It's the development of yourself. Are you getting better, or is your shot getting better? Is your strategy, your mind game getting better, and kind of go from there. And in the end, you just got to let it happen. It's out of your hands.
How beneficial is it for a guy like Dickinson to have entered the league last year, play big minutes for you guys throughout the playoffs, and playing against guys that, playing with and against guys that have been drafted and, gone to NHL camps and spent time with NHL players? Like, how much does he benefit from that in, you know, in his 16-year-old year and again in his 17-year-old year?
I think it's huge. It's experience for us, for these guys here. I mean, the more games you get to play and the more serious or, you know, high intensity situations, the better you're going to be when you turn pro. And for being 16 and kind of getting right into the third round, fourth round of playoffs, understanding loss, you know, it's not just always positive. You know, you can work as hard as you can. You end up losing, you know, in the finals. I think it only makes them mentally stronger, but understanding, you know, how important the inches are in the game when it gets down to playoffs. And, you know, he was big for us and he was, you know, one of those guys that started off not playing a lot, 5'6". By the end of the year, he was 4'5" and then ended up being on the power play in the finals because, you know, he had that shot. So he understands a little bit where you can't really teach that, you know, you, as a coach, you can't teach them, you know, 2 minutes left in the game with a goalie pulled in the finals. It's something that you have to kind of play through. And usually guys don't get that till they're 18 or 19. So for him to get that a little earlier in his career is only going to be beneficial.
And obviously, you know, everybody's development isn't, you know, it's not linear. It's not the same. Bonk obviously went back and played down in his 16-year-old year and then came up and has been impactful for you guys. And you guys have been known to do that as well. So not everybody's the same, but it must be fun for you guys to see them take those big leaps, you know, year after year and, you know, just be proven that what you guys are doing and what they're doing is working.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like we said, it's the best part about junior hockey. It's, you know, to see them from 16 to 19 is such a huge growth on and off the ice. So to see them take those leaps, it's, you know, it's fulfilling as a coach, but also just to see them, you know, as a person. You know, you guys got, you know, guys like Bo Horvat come back here and now he's got a couple kids. It's, you know, you see them grow and you see them develop and it's, you know, it's just a really fun time for them to have this time here and as well for us.
All right. We're, you know, coming up on playoffs here, still not sure who you guys are going to play with and we'll get to that in a second, but how does last year's run to the final help you guys, you know, the guys that are returning this year, prepare for this year's playoff run?
Yeah, you know, it's experience, right? So it's last year obviously was a great run for us and it was maybe, you know, some people didn't think, you know, we had the team for it, but we, again, we had guys like Cowboy or Cowan and Barks and that really kind of pushed us over that threshold. And, you know, kind of went back to your old question. It was something that you can't really bet on. We knew they were good. They're going to be outstanding at 18 and 19, but at 17, they took a huge leap and basically kind of pushed us over that crest. And then we had a guy like Winterton, right? We needed a guy that came in, guy that's been through it before. And that experience is something like you can't coach, you can't explain to them, you know? And so having that coming into this year, they understand how hard it is to get to the finals. And, you know, you can't just say, oh, we're first, so we'll see a hard team in the Western Conference finals. It's something that has to go game by game and period by period. And by going through those ups and downs they had last year, they can kind of put that on to the rest of the guys that haven't been here.
Yeah, and you can't count on anything in any of the leagues in the CHL. Like, just look at Windsor last year and what happened to them in the first round after finishing first. How much, like, the playoffs are a grind. You know, it's a physical grind. It's a mental grind. How much do you guys, as coaches, try to prepare at least the new guys this year for what that physical and mental grind will be throughout a long, hopefully a really long playoff run culminating at the Memorial Cup?
I think it's something that you develop through the year, you know, being able to take care of yourself, self-assess. You know, our trainers are great. They can only do so much if you don't say anything. You know, make sure you take your time for your body. You know, well, practices are short. If you need you need the practice off, take it. You know, you have to stretch out. You have to do whatever it takes to keep you mentally and sharp. You know, and it's, I think there's just so many tools out there now. You know, we have sports psychology and the training facilities that we have that you just take advantage of it. You know, it's not old school where, you know, you're practicing every day and this is what we're going to do. We're going to do battle drills. It's more teaching them how to be a pro and to be able to self-assess. You know, if you need to be on the ice, you want to work a couple one tees, work on a couple one tees, and they have to learn that themselves. You know, we can coax them along, give them the right direction, but we really want them to have that space where they can learn that on their own.
How tough is it to to get, and maybe it's not at this level, but to have the guys be self-motivated to go out and make these improvements on their own, or try to get other guys to come along with the ones that are really highly motivated.
It's case by case. I mean, you can't really blanket it. Obviously you have, some guys that are, almost too much, and guys that aren't enough. You just it, it's you know it's you hope you get the right core guys that kind of push that team along. It's you've been on enough teams. There's always an identity, that comes through the older guys and what they like to do. And we're lucky. We got guys like Barks and Cowboy that they want to go out early. They work on their shots and we can be there for them, but they'll do it on their own, right? Once you're old enough, you can work on that kind of stuff. So I think it bleeds right through the team, if you have that right guys kind of running it. But again, it's you got to be able to have enough confidence in yourself, maybe just to take a step back a couple of days. If you don't by shooting 1,000 pucks a day doesn't mean you're going to get any better if you're not putting the right mindset into it. So it's all about the mind. It's about being able to take in as much as you can, and just overdoing it for the sake of doing it is not going to help you.
You guys went on a 22-0-1 run earlier this year, and it started after a loss to the Greyhounds, and then the streak was ended by the Greyhounds. So, how big was that win last weekend over the Greyhounds, your final game against them this year?
It was good. I mean, they're a great team. They're big and they're fast, and we've had trouble with them. So you kind of go back to the drawing board, figure out maybe a little tweak here and there of what we got to do, and try to not just eke a win out, but get some more confidence in what system can work. And it was big. It was a big win for us. We needed something to get a little positivity, against them, but. They're going to change this as well. They're well coached, so that's where the games start and the strategy starts. But now the boys know they can, and then hopefully we can just kind of keep building on it.
And like I said, we don't know who you guys are going to play in the first round of the playoffs. It could be anybody from Flint to Owen Sound to Erie or even Guelph still. How do you guys, there's only two games left in the regular season. How do you guys, as the coaching staff, start to prepare for the playoffs?
It starts couple months ago, of trimming down practice, fine-tuning certain things you want to work on or think we need to improve on. And then once it gets down to here, I mean, your team's basically your team. You're not going to teach them something new now, so you're just kind of have all your different systems and different tendencies and different variations on, face-offs and forechecks, and kind of have them all in your bag. And then once we do find out, we'll watch a bunch of their games, sort of what we really need to harp on, and hope to the foundation's already there that we've been teaching for 68 games.
Last weekend, University of New Brunswick finished an incredible season, winning the national championship. Four London Knights grads on that team: Cam Baber, Sean McGurn, Cody Morgan, Jason Wilms. How fun! Obviously, it's fun to see guys graduate and go on and have success at the NHL. But to see those guys have that run with that team this year, how fun was that for you guys to see that as well?
It was great. I mean, they're all great guys. A lot of them were core guys for us. We had Sean McGurn here for 5 years, so we're all pretty close. I mean, that's special. It's again, it just goes to what their identity is. I mean, obviously well coached and well developed and well recruited, but it's the guys that are out there that are doing it, and to go undefeated, it's special. It's obviously never happened. So it's I know Rick's been texting Sean, and he was pretty pumped about it. And it's, even our guys, like, they were checking up on it because they all know him too. So it was a wild ride, and I can't be more proud of them.
I want to dial it back here, because one of the coolest traditions I think in the CHL is the hat trick sombrero. And I did a little bit of research, and I found out that it started while you were playing with the Knights back in 2005, when Trevor Kell first, well, was the first one to receive the sombrero after scoring his only hat trick with the Knights. How cool is that to see, that tradition? And it's Sharon and Dick, I believe it's Hughes, that started that and keep it going. But how much fun is it for the players? How much fun is it for you guys to see that started way back in 2005 continue to go strong, even into 2024 now?
I think it's a testament to our fan base. We have great fans, very loyal fans. I can't remember who came back, and they couldn't believe the sombrero was still going, and it's great. Our kids, the boys just get excited for it. The fans do as well. They love wearing it after the game and putting it on. And I think it's just one of those things that I don't even know how they decided to throw a sombrero, but it's just become its own thing now. And like you said, it's 20-year tradition. That I mean, every year the guys still get excited to wear it and to get it. So I think it's like I said, the fan base is just great. You can't ask for more.
Well, you've got two games left. You guys have had two regular season titles since you've been coaching there. Win these next two games, and you're guaranteed to capture a third regular season title. You've got Windsor and Guelph at home. What do you guys have to do this weekend to win out here and win the OHL regular season?
Just not look ahead. I mean, our whole mantra is one game at a time. Game one is no different than game 67 or 68. No matter what's on the line, it's there. There's an expectation of how we want you to play and how we manage a game, and shouldn't change no matter what it is. So we expect the same. We expect them to, be ready on time and to play the right way and to manage the puck the right way, and two more games and get into playoffs.
Last one. For the London Knights to have a successful playoff run, finish this for me. We'll have to.
Manage games. We have to make
Awesome.
sure. Yeah.
Thanks, Dylan. Thanks for taking out the time. Good luck this weekend and good luck in a hopefully a long, deep playoff run again for you guys this year.
All right. Thank you very much, Scott.
The Oshawa Generals spent the first 17 games of the regular season without their offensive catalyst, Cal Ritchie, as he recovered from off-season shoulder surgery. Since rejoining the team in mid-November, the Avalanche prospect has been a force, helping turn the Gens into serious contenders in the O. Cal and I talk about the recovery process from his surgery, how he was able to keep improving, becoming a more consistent player, what the identity of this Jenny's team is, and why they're equally as comfortable on the road as they are at home. Here's Cal Ritchie. My second guest today is from the 10th ranked team in the CHL Top 10. They're riding a 10-game win streak. It's the OHL's Eastern Conference leading Oshawa Generals and Avs prospect, Cal Ritchie. Cal, how you doing today?
Doing great, thanks. How are you?
I'm pretty good. We're coming up on playoff time here, so things are getting a little bit more exciting. Two more regular season games for you guys. How ready are the Oshawa Generals to get the playoffs going?
Yeah, no, we're super excited, and obviously we're kind of peaking at the right time, 10-game win streak right now, and we kind of feel like we're at the top of our game, and we've grown our game a lot over this year as a group, and really just looking forward to getting the playoffs started.
I was gonna say that you guys are peaking at the perfect time right now, and that's evidenced by cracking the CHL top 10 for the first time this year and being at the top of the OHL's rankings this week as well. I'm curious though, what would you say is the Generals' team identity this year?
Yeah, I think I mean, Generals hockey is fast hockey, physical, hard to play against. And I mean, anytime a team comes in their building, they know it's going to be a battle. And yeah, I think that's something that we've kind of taken pride in this year for sure. Is yeah, just playing fast, plus sticking to our structure and playing a good, detailed, structured game.
Now, you've lost 19 games in regulation this year. 10 of them have been at home, 9 on the road. You've won 38 games this year, 19 on the road, 19 at home. So you don't normally see it so even like that. I'm just curious as to, why you guys are so comfortable on or as comfortable on the road as you are at home, and how much is that going to benefit you guys once you hit the playoffs?
Yeah, I think that's obviously huge, and I think, I mean, we pr prepare really well before games, and whether it's home game or away game, we take care of our bodies, and we're all kind of dialed in that sense. So I think that's kind of why you see it's pretty even at home and away. And yeah, no, I think it's a hard building to play in for other teams coming in, and then I think when we go on the road, we're ready to go. So I think that's kind of why it's been even.
How easy or how difficult is it for you guys to, you know, keep similar routines when you're on the road versus at home?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we don't have too many long road trips. So we're pretty fortunate. We're kind of a central team, I guess. But yeah, I mean, when we're on the road, we have those long road trips. I think our coaches do a great job of, I mean, our meals on the road are great and take care of us well here in Oshawa. So I think that's a big thing, obviously, just kind of taking care of our bodies and doing the extra kind of bike rides and stuff on the road and the extra cool downs after games. I think that helps us a lot.
Well, you guys have gone 15-3-3 since Feb 1. So just what has been start the, you know, we can go back further and you beat London twice in that stretch. But if we go back further to January 1 and you guys are 25-6-5 since the calendar flip. So what's been clicking for you guys? What's kind of gone right for you guys to be able to go on a run like this in the second half of the year?
Yeah, I think we're all really buying into our systems. And I mean, we obviously added some guys at the deadline that have helped us a lot for sure. And, you know, I think just everyone as a group, everyone's playing to their potential right now. And I mean, we seem to continue that. And I mean, it's everyone's effort that needs to be at the top of your game if we're going to have success. And that's what we're having right now. So we just need to continue that.
And how much does confidence come into play? You know, once you get on a bit of a roll, it just snowballs. And then from there, you know, say you have a big game, then it trickles down from there as well. And everybody starts to get more and more confident.
Yeah, for sure. I think confidence is obviously a huge thing. And there's a lot of belief in our room that we can win it all. And you need that for sure. You can't have a single guy on your team not thinking that you can win it all if you really want to win. So yeah, that's definitely huge. I mean, we have a lot of belief in our group. And I think that's definitely something that's grown a lot as the year's gone on.
And with that belief, I'm sure comes even more internal competition. So how much are you guys, you know, pushing yourselves to push the envelope in practices and even in games?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we battle hard in practice every day. And we kind of know that, I mean, we're in the CHL top 10 now. I mean, we're practicing against some of the best players in the CHL and kind of helps everyone in our team develop and get better every single day. So we're ready to go for games.
For you, you missed the first, I believe it was about 17 games of the season recovering from your off-season shoulder surgery. So about 6 months, I believe, was the recovery time for you. How was that, you know, first real adversity that you've had to face in that sense? How was that working through that?
Yeah, it was definitely really tough for me. I mean, hockey's my life, right? So not being able to be on the ice for 3 months there at the start was really tough for me. And I mean, I just try to do whatever I could to try to get better, riding the bike, doing lower body stuff in the gym, and then doing my shoulder exercise, my rehab. So, I mean, there's obviously a different look how my summer was this year, but I thought I made the most of it, and I grew my game even facing that adversity. So
how were you able to grow as a player and as a person while you were being forced to sit out like that?
Yeah, I think as a player, I think I just got a lot stronger. My lower body and my core, I think that was a big thing that I could work on. I couldn't do as much upper body stuff, but and then it was my right shoulder I got surgery on, so I was working a lot of stuff with my top hand, my left hand. I mean, I was trying to stick handle and stuff as much as I could, and I think I tried to grew my game as much as I could with that. And as a person, I think obviously. Facing adversity, trying to be able to work through that is definitely good for anyone. And a little adversity is never going to hurt anyone if you can kind of work through it. And I think it just kind of pushed me to be more mentally tough.
How much video did you watch or how many, like, I'm not sure if you were at home in Oakville or if you were in Oshawa at the start of the year, but were you watching games or watching from up top? And how does that perspective, you know, maybe help you grow as well?
Yeah, for sure. I think I watched all the games live and, you know, and you're kind of up top, you can kind of see the game kind of play out differently. And you can try to pick up some things that will work when I'm back out there on the ice. So I think that was good for me to kind of grow my game as well.
Did you play put your coach hat on at all and go down to guys after games or even in intermission and say, hey, this is what I'm seeing. Maybe try this or do that.
Not too often. I mean, obviously, when you're not kind of playing, you kind of want to let the guys do their thing, right? But, like when I was practicing, and as you kind of talk about the team kind of needs to work on and stuff like that, and what the team's doing well. But yeah, I think I'm just glad to be back, and it was a long kind of 17 games I had to sit out there, but I'm just really happy to be back.
Well, and now you're currently in the midst of a 10 game point streak, and you had a 9-gamer earlier this season as well. So how have you been able to be a little bit more consistent night in and night out this year?
Yeah, I think obviously a lot of credit to my teammates. When the team's having success, everyone's gonna have their personal success too. And yeah, I think my linemates have been great, my teammates have been great. And when we're winning, it's a lot of fun. It's a great atmosphere right now, and we're really enjoying it.
Yeah, and you've already set career highs in goals with 26 and points with 76. Last year you finished the season as a plus one. This year you're already a plus 42. Did you set any goals for yourself, as you were rehabbing and say, when I get back, this is kind of where I'd like to be by the end of the year?
Not too much. I think for me, I have really high expectations for myself, and I just want to always do whatever I can to kind of help the team win. And if that's producing, that'd be great to be producing points and all that. And but I think overall, I just wanted to help the team in whatever way I could when I got back. So I'm just glad I'm able to do that in some way.
And so you've played 48 games now. What areas of your game do you feel like, since you've been back, that you've made the most progress in and improved upon?
Yeah, I think obviously I just think hockey IQ is obviously something that I always try to kind of improve, and that's obviously from great coaching here. And I think like my playmaking ability is definitely improved. And then also, I kind of need to start shooting the puck more. I think that's something I need to work on. But I think I'm doing a good job setting up guys for scoring opportunities. But yeah, and then obviously a good two-way game, face-offs, all that stuff is stuff I try to work on daily. And coaches are doing a great job at trying to help me out on that.
Do you go up against a coach, or do you have a certain other player that you like to do face-offs with to either beat or learn from or anything like that?
Yeah, we work on it a lot as centers in practice, so I kind of go against anyone. But Rasmus Kamppainen is also really good on draws, so I like to work with him. He's a lefty, so I'll work with him. And then Owen Griffin's a righty, so it's good to kind of get both-handed shots to work on. Also Dylan Rubik, they're all pretty good on draws, so it's good to compete against those guys in practice.
I bet those little competitions probably get pretty heated. Who's the most intense out of you guys?
I think we all are. We all kind of battle pretty hard, and yeah, it gets pretty intense. And yeah, it's good.
Well, this summer you were drafted by the Avs. Just kind of take me through that moment when you heard your name called. What was it like for you?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I think obviously you don't really know what to expect. You're going into draft day, you don't know who's going to pick you and when you're going to go. And I think it was just a great time to spend with my family and my friends. And I was just super glad that the Colorado Avalanche selected me. It's such a great organization, and they've just treated me so well so far. And I've helped my shoulder progress when I was there at camp, and I learned a lot there as well, being on the ice and in the gym. And yeah, they've helped me a ton.
Yeah, and how was that? Like, how were they able to help you? And it must have been exciting to be able to go and attend Dev Camp and Rookie Camp and be there in person. Probably a little bit frustrating not to be able to fully participate, but just the overall experience, and then seeing some of the other guys start to trickle into town and get to meet some of the guys from the big club must have been pretty exciting too.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I wasn't able to take part in the full contact practices and the games and all that, but I was able to do the skill skates and the workouts and all that. And I was doing some skill skates with McKinnon and Makar, and that was pretty unbelievable. And to learn from those guys and to see their habits on and off the ice, it's pretty incredible. And to try to take that back to Oshawa and kind of emulate that is great learning for me.
What was maybe the most surprising thing that you learned from just, you know, just observing those guys and how they prepare or train or whatever it was?
Maybe not necessarily like surprising, just because you kind of hear things about how dedicated McKinnon is, but I think just seeing like how hard he works, like it's truly incredible. I mean, he's the best player in the world, and he's doing I mean, he's acting like he's fighting for his life every single day and try to improve. And yeah, it's unbelievable, and it's just like a great environment there. Everyone's just so dialed in, so it's great for me to kind of learn from that and help me try to grow my game.
Yeah, for sure. Like if you're seeing the best guy on the team working like that, then obviously everybody else is going to have to work as hard as he is, because if he's not taking a day off or anything, then you can't take it off either, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Now, did you get a chance to run into your former Jenny's teammate and Oscar Olsson while you were there?
Yeah, I actually room with them throughout the rookie tournament and rookie camp. So yeah, that's pretty cool, obviously. When he was back here in Oshawa my first year. Yeah, we're good buddies, and to kind of go back and spend that time with him at camp, it was awesome.
Now, when you look back at that rookie year of yours and even last year, how much of a benefit was it for you to have that opportunity to play against guys that have been, you know, drafted into the NHL, that have signed NHL deals, you know, spent time at camps? How much did you benefit from, you know, playing with guys like that and playing against guys with that experience?
Yeah, for sure. I think since my first year, obviously, it's really this elite co competition. I think I play with a lot of great players and against a lot of great players, and a lot of guys that are playing in the NHL now. And for me to experience that at 16 years old, and I mean, until now that I'm 19, it's helped me grow my game so much, and just kind of see what it takes to kind of be an NHL player. And like seeing how when those guys went through it, it's pretty unbelievable. And to be able to, yeah, be part of that and just kind of see that, it's unreal.
And now, you know, one of your teammates, an offensive force for you guys this year, Beckett Seneca, he's going through that amongst a few other guys as well. But he's made some huge strides this season. How have you seen him grow as a player from last year to this year as he heads into his draft year?
Yeah, for sure. Beckett's a super creative offensive player, and he can produce really well, and he's super creative. So he's also kind of taking that stride in his two-way game as well this year. You see that his plus minus is really good, and he pays attention to the details. And yeah, I think he's grown his game a lot since his first year, and just really glad for him. He's having a lot of success and playing on his line right now, so it's been great.
Now, you're going to have to set the record straight for us, because I spoke to him out in Moncton, and he claims to be the Jenny's ping pong champion. You know, there were a couple of your teammates that may have disagreed with him while he was out there. So who is the best ping pong player on the Jenny's right now?
I gotta go with Matthew Buckley. He's number one. Beckett's not. I don't think he's top 10. I think he's been lying to you guys.
What advice do you give, you know, guys like Beckett or Danford or Morelli, you know, who are all going through their draft year, especially since you went through the exact same thing last year?
Yeah, I think. I mean, you kind of get caught up sometimes, and where you're gonna get drafted, when you're gonna go, all that stuff. So I think I try to explain them that you kind of just gotta enjoy it and just try to get better every single day. And I mean, you see it every year where guys get drafted later than they should have been if you do like a redraft and all that. So the draft obviously isn't a perfectly science, and you just gotta get better every single day. And I mean, whatever happens, happens. And but you just gotta continue to work, and it's only really the beginning. So I kind of tell them every single day, you just gotta work hard and just try to get better.
How much do you tell them to maybe stay away from social media and everybody's draft lists, because you could be ranked first round on one and fifth round on another, and somebody's saying you're the greatest prospect ever, and then the next person's telling you that you're the worst player to have ever put on skates?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely tough. You kind of want to stay away from all that social media stuff in that sense. But I mean, I think they kind of understand how the draft is, and I mean, no one can really predict how the draft's going to go. So there's no point in kind of reading into that stuff too much.
Now, your goalie, Jacob Oster, I'll admit I didn't know a whole lot about him before this season, but it seems like almost every week, if not every week, that he is creating a 10 bell save for you guys. How important has he been for your success, and how is he able to make such highlight reel plays almost every night?
Yeah, he's unbelievable. He's a great player, great teammate, and I'm just really happy for him. He's having a lot of success this year, and he's helped our team so much every single night. So yeah, you know, he just competes really hard, practices, games, everything. And yeah, he gives us a chance to win every single night, and that's what top goalie, I think he's the top goalie in the league, and that's what he's doing every single night for our team, and it's just been unbelievable.
How much does it make your life a little bit easier knowing that he's back there, and you know, if a puck gets turned over, if you turn the puck over, the defenseman turn the puck over, like, odds are he's going to make the save for you guys?
Yeah, for sure. I think it brings a lot of confidence in our group knowing that he's back there, and it's like having a brick wall back there. So I think all the guys kind of have more confidence when they have the puck on their stick and they're not too concerned of making a bad turnover. And yeah, no, it's unbelievable having him in that.
Now, you guys only need a couple of points, I believe, over this final weekend to clinch the division, to clinch the conference, and without, you know, not worrying about what Mississauga or North Bay do. So what do you guys have to do in your final two games against Kitchener and Sudbury this weekend to make sure that the Eastern Conference is yours?
Yeah, I think we just got to be doing what we've been kind of doing in the second half this year, and it's just kind of sticking to our structure, playing good, fast hockey, and yeah, it's playing structured and detailed game, and just playing for the team, playing to win. And if we do those things, I think we can clinch the conference here.
And if you do those things and clinch the conference, then it looks like you'll be facing off against the Barrie Colts in the first round, and not obviously to overlook this weekend, but how do you start to prepare for that first round? And if it is against the Colts, you know, obviously you guys went 2-1-1 against them this year, so you got a favorable record against them. But how do you guys start to prepare, or when as the team? Obviously the coach has been preparing for a while, but when do you guys start to prepare for it?
Yeah, you know, I think as players, we got to just kind of take care of business day by day. And once we kind of find out who we're playing in the first round there, I mean, anyone can win in playoffs, right? So there's no easy matchup. And we know, like, Barrie's a good team, and we just got to play hard and play our game. I mean, that's all we can do. I mean, we can't really worry too much about our competition, who we're playing. We just got to play our game. And we know that when we play at the top of our game, we can beat anyone. So it's kind of our mindset going into playoffs.
You guys have been knocked out of the playoffs in the first round in the last 2 years. How much more valuable is a guy like Connor Lockhart, who you guys brought in and obviously went to the Memorial Cup last year with Peterborough? How much of a benefit is a guy like him in the dressing room, just to be able to pick his brain and you know, maybe ask a little bit more about the long and deep playoff runs?
Yeah, for sure. I think that was a huge pickup for us, obviously, ever since we traded for him. It's helped our team a ton, and it's great for our culture, and a great guy off the ice too. And he's taught all of us kind of what it takes to win, and we've all just learned a ton from him and what his playoff run was like last year. And that's gonna be huge for us for playoffs. He's a great playoff player, and that's what we need.
Your older brother Ethan turned pro this year. I know he spent some time most of the season in the coast, but spent some time in the A as well. How's his adjustment to his pro career gone?
Yeah, I think he really enjoys it. I think obviously playing in the OHL, you have to be self-sufficient and be able to take care of yourself. And I think it definitely helped him be able to move and go to the East Coast and the AHL there. And now he's living on his own, cooking his own meals, obviously, and doing all that stuff. So it's a great kind of way for him to be set up for that, for playing pro hockey. And I think now he really enjoys it, and he's having a great time there in Maine and Providence.
How often are you able to catch his games, and how often do you hear from him after him watching some of your games?
Yeah, it's a little challenging sometimes to watch his games, but I'll tune in every once in a while, and we kind of talk. We'll FaceTime each other, kind of talking about how our seasons are going and what's kind of going on in our teams and stuff like that. And it's great to kind of have that support as a brother, and to be able to kind of go through it with him. It's great for me.
Awesome. Okay, last one for me. Finish this. For the Generals to have a successful playoff run, we'll have to.
We'll have to just compete hard every single night and not take any team for granted. Not take any game for granted. We just got to, we just got to play hard, play our game, and can't focus too much on our competition.
Awesome. Cal, thank you very much. Good luck this weekend. Thank Hopefully you get your Eastern Conference title and a long playoff run.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's it for the regular season. Thanks for listening to another episode of the CHL Top 10 Show. Make sure you like and subscribe as we continue to chat with some of the biggest and brightest names across the Canadian Hockey League throughout the playoffs.